Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Week 2 podcast, Take the Points. We're back. We are going to recap last week quickly, then we're going to get into the lines for Week 2. As usual, I am Tom Zeleznak. I'm joined by Dan Partridge in Arizona via Skype.
Hey, Zoo.
And we have a special guest today, Ryan Spillett, also joining us from Arizona via Skype.
Hey, Z.
Spillett, what compelled you to join this shit show?
Oh, I love it. I listened to last week's podcast, and I listened to it a lot last year, and I love gambling. I love the lines. The lines to me are more important than the result of the game.
Yes. Well, you've just matched all of our qualifications to join us, so perfect.
All right.
Okay, Dan, I'm going to throw it to you to start with. Thoughts on week one, and especially I want to ask you which teams should get excited about what they saw in week one and which teams need to sort of chill the fuck out, take a step back from the hype.
Okay, first of all, that was a great week one. It was fantastic. That was one of the best week ones that I can remember. You know, I really got to hand it to college football again for constantly thinking about ways to improve. I mean, on top of the playoff, they've really done a good job of this, you know, out-of-conference scheduling, putting games at neutral sites, cool locations, Jerry Dome, you know, Georgia Dome, played a fucking game in Ireland, you know, stuff like that. I mean, even though it was a lame game, I think it's great. They should do more of that to spread the, you know, kind of word of college football, so to speak. Okay, first right off, bad impression. That Florida State-Oklahoma State game was fantastic. Great game. Florida State just has this kind of experience, per se. Like, I think it's, like, more than experience. They're, like, super confident, and they're just fantastic. Even though Oklahoma State made a run, I never thought they were going to lose that game for a second. I don't know if you did, too.
No, what I noticed at first, especially in the early part where they were up 17-0, it looked like a bunch of grown men playing against little boys, teenagers. I mean, Florida State looked so much more physically imposing than Oklahoma State. I was actually really impressed with Oklahoma State that they hung around for so long.
It was a really interesting, afternoon. It was great. Other games, let's talk about that. What other games, Ryan, did you really like?
My biggest thought from week one is that Coach Sumlin has himself a dynasty in A&M.
That's a great point.
That is actually one point I was going to ask both of you. A&M, are we overreacting to how good they looked? Is there any chance that South Carolina just totally sucks and that A&M's an average team at best?
No, I think A&M is the new Oklahoma State or the new Art Briles. It doesn't matter who's on the field at any position, they will win. It's all about having that amazing offensive system, you know, and hats off to him to move to the hardest conference and win. You know, it's just unbelievable. Now, there is a chance that South Carolina is no good, but to still score that many points on the road against an SEC defense, I don't care who you play in the SEC to score 51 points first weekend of the year with a new quarterback. You can play Ole Miss, Kentucky, Vandy, it don't matter. That's impressive. So hats off to A&M. They're going to be a fun team. Never bet an under the entire year for A&M. I don't care if it's 97 and, you know, 100-mile-an-hour wins. All overs, all season. Thank you later.
Do you have any thoughts, either of you, on Kenny Hill's nickname? I am not down with calling him Kenny Football. I think that's like LaDainian Tomlinson being LT. It's too similar to a hero of the past.
He's already weighed in on that himself. Tom, I have some insider info. He now wants to be called Kenny Trill.
Kenny Trill?
Kenny Trill. That is coming from him. I saw the quote online. That's what he wants to be called.
Does that mean something? I mean, I'm old and married and lame now.
Trill. Trill.
What is Trill?
It's, what is it, a combination of...
It's kind of like a term that gets thrown out in rap songs. You might have to edit this part because if we're wrong, we're going to sound really bad. I'm just throwing it.
No, I feel fine not knowing anything about rap. That's totally cool with me. That's like if I didn't know about country. It's more, you know, when people attack you for not knowing country, that's more on them than on me.
No. All right, Tom, I got it. It's the combination of the words true and real.
Oh.
If you're true and real, you're Trill.
Yeah, all right. I'm on board with
and
that.
And so that's what he wants to be called. I think it fits.
All right.
All right. Normally, I'm not on board with people choosing their own nickname, but I think I'll make an exception for a guy who throws for 511 yards.
Fair enough. I agree.
Okay, Dan, you're Baylor Bears.
Oh,
are you
God.
Are you nervous at all that Bryce Petty might be seriously injured?
No.
Okay.
No.
I picked them as a playoff team, Dan. Well, am I way off base now?
No. Yes. Well, kind of. Let me explain. All three. He will be fine. They have a really easy non-conference schedule. Give him a couple weeks to heal. You know, they're completely fine.
They should be 8-0, actually. They have their first 8 games, I believe, until they play Oklahoma, are all very, very winnable.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I don't think that they were going to make the Final Four anyhow, in my opinion. They're going to be fine. Just give them a week or two to heal up. They'll play a bunch of teams they've never heard of. And, you know, and then after this, you know, first 4 or 5 weeks is over, come October, everything will be fine. I have total faith in our Bryles.
Okay. A few more teams I want to go over before we move on. Alabama, UCLA, both sort of close games. I mean, each had the game in hand, but the scores were a lot closer than people thought. Did either of you watch either of these games, and do you think these teams need to freak out, or can they just relax?
I think Alabama is going to be fine if they keep the ball on the ground. They play great D. I think they're going to have some great special teams this year. Looking at some of these young guys they have returning kicks, it's just a weird, they always seem to have that. I really look for them to kind of grind out some games. The two quarterback thing worries me a little bit, but they'll figure that out. I have faith in Saban. I'm more concerned about UCLA. 3 defensive scores is impressive, but Hundley dropped a lot in my eyes.
Yeah, 0 offensive scores until, you know, the second half is not impressive at all.
I would like to weigh in on this. I think you should take that UCLA game and move on. It means nothing, and here's why. I read a stat. This is only like the 8th time they've played on the East Coast in like 40 years or something like that at an early, 1 or noon time slot. They were 2-5 against the spread. Now they're 2-6. It's one of those weird games, first game of the season. They'll be back on the West Coast where all of them are from, which is a totally different world. Like, I can't emphasize that enough. They'll be comfortable when they come back. You can get great value with UCLA, I think, for the rest of the month after that performance. I'm going to hammer them probably 2 or 3 weeks in a row going forward. Mark them.
I have one quick thing about Alabama before we move on. I think they need to be a little nervous. I think they'll be fine. I do think Sims was a little shaky, and I don't know if he's going to be nearly as good as the last couple of guys they've had at quarterback. I would have liked to see Coker play at least a few drives. But the reason I would freak out a little bit is because the rest of the SEC, Georgia looked like a powerhouse. Auburn looked just as good as last year. Texas A&M, you know, we expected them to finish, what, 4th in the SEC West? They look like a top 10 team. So yeah. Alabama's schedule and the talent they have to face just went way up a notch in my book.
That's a really good point, C. I agree.
Actually, of all the teams that I picked to get into the playoff, I'm least confident about them, even though they're probably the most talented.
Solid point.
Okay, moving along, Dan.
I would like to talk about the overhyped team from Georgia featuring Mark Richt for a moment, if we could.
Yes, absolutely. I wanted to get into that because they looked very good against a Clemson defense that was totally beat down at the end. But we've seen this from Georgia many times before.
Yep.
And let us not forget how those times ended.
Everyone needs to really calm down about Georgia, and I'm going to explain why. A couple of reasons. First of all, I was watching CBS Sports this morning. Our main man, Ryan, from Louisiana. Who is he?
Oh, Mr. Brando.
Tim Brando. I love the guy, and I wish he could, you know, hear us someday. I'd love to meet him. But I really, really love everything he says, but today I couldn't believe what I saw. He had his own personal new rankings out, and he had Georgia at number 1. And it's just so false. Oh, wow, they scored 40-something points against Clemson. Okay, there's been about 12 or 15 times over the past 3 years teams have scored that many points on Clemson. Last year against, you know, like Ohio State, a bowl game, even though they win, they give up 35. Florida State goes up and down the field on them. Geno Smith in West Virginia, scored, what, 10 touchdowns on them? You know, it's Clemson. They don't have any defense. It doesn't matter. If they did this against Alabama or, you know, Ole Miss even or something like that, I would be impressed. But it's Clemson, dude, and it's Mark Recht. It's an early week one game in August. Georgia fans, it's coming. I can't wait for the huge letdown. You're going to lose outright as like a 19-point favorite. It's going to be great. I cannot wait. I cannot wait.
I don't know if you watched the – if you watch the end of that game, Todd Gurley, you know, got on the mic with the sideline reporter. He sounds like Cat Williams.
That's a good thing.
It's hilarious. And he said the word practice about 9 times. He was trying to break the Iverson mark.
Impossible, but a valiant effort.
All right, Dan, we're going to get into the week 2 lines. But first, we have some very, very important business to discuss.
Yeah, we do.
And I would like Ryan to weigh in on this as he is... there's no one better qualified to discuss this.
There is not.
The epic Dan versus Tom 2014 showdown. Who will be the first to win 5 games, UConn or Syracuse?
Well, here's the thing, Z. I've already put my money where my mouth is, and I have a pending wager with under 5.5 wins for the Orange.
Now, did you make that wager before the season or after the epic win against Villanova?
I made it about a month ago as soon as it was available to bet.
You must have been extremely happy watching that game.
I was actually really, I felt bad for both teams. That's about all I can say about it. I really felt bad for both those teams.
I did too. I felt bad for Syracuse for obvious reasons because it was a pathetic showing. But I also felt bad for Villanova because you come that close to the upset. They had no business being in that game or playing football in general. And they almost won it. It would have been nice, actually. Even though I have Syracuse in this bet, I would have felt good for Villanova had they won. But they didn't. And I'm up 1-0 in our Syracuse versus UConn challenge.
UConn and Syracuse are absolutely just horrible. The first team to win 4 games is probably going to be the winner. I don't think we should even have 5. It should just be first to 4. I'll spot you one after that Villanova game.
Well, really, it's whoever wins the most. 5 okay. is the ceiling, I think, for both of these teams.
So, okay, that's fair enough. Okay, I had money on UConn to cover against BYU, which did not work out well. I had no shot of ever winning that bet. I tried to talk myself into it at points, like in the late second quarter. I'm like, all right, we're down 21-7. I'm getting 17. We're good here. No. But this is a crazy stat, and we should look at this going forward because as bad as UConn is, as horrible as they look, college football is all about, you know, things that have happened in the past that just reoccurs. As a home underdog at their new stadium, going into last week, UConn was an amazing 19-4 ATS out of 23 games. So out of 23 games as a home underdog since Rensselaer Field opened, they've covered 19. That's an amazing stat. Think about that.
I would not have guessed that at all.
19 out of 23, or it was 19 out of 24. At worst right now, it's 19 out of 25, which is 19-6. So that's why I betted. I said 17's a lot. Maybe I get a backdoor cover. Maybe Utah only scores 17 points because that's what they do, BYU. Sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, but it didn't work out. I turned that shit off in the third quarter and hopped in the swimming pool. That was that.
It's a questionable logic, Dan, but we're all allowed a few of those a week.
Numbers never lie, just like on ESPN. You know, great channel. They're always right.
Sure they do. All right. Anything you want to add before we jump into the lines?
No, man, I think that's good. We can go on to the next week.
Okay. Let's move along to a Friday night game. Pittsburgh, who looked good in their first game against very bad an opponent. That's the thing about week one. So many teams, you look at the scoreboard and it's, oh, they won 60-3. And then you see who'd they play. And it was like, oh, William and Mary Tech. Yeah. So that shows us nothing, but Pittsburgh had a big win and Boston College is Boston College, but they are at home. Pittsburgh is favored by 4.5. Any thoughts on that one, Dan?
No.
We know how much you love Boston College.
Yeah, least favorite team, number one. Can't stand them. And Pitt, I have no idea.
I think for the listeners who are new this year, maybe you should tell everybody your feelings on Boston College.
All right, let me just tell you a couple things about Boston College that makes me hate it. One, it's not in the city of Boston. Two, everyone who goes there is an asshole. That's right, if you're listening. Three, their sports teams are always overhyped. Four, they were like, I'm going to leave our conference, the Big East, because we're too good for that. We're going to the ACC. And they were a terrible school. Like, they didn't bring anything to the table to go there. And if you live in Boston and you know a bunch of BC people, you know, it's pretty easy to figure out who they are within about 5 minutes. So, can't stand them. Hate them. I will never, ever put points on Boston College. So I guess you kind of made me kind of go full circle on this one. And I'm laying the points with Pitt. There you go.
Ryan, thoughts?
Only that this is the Friday night Rod Gilmore mute game. So hopefully we find some good tunes and it'll help us ride this one out.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards Pittsburgh, although there's a 0% chance I'll be watching this game. I might lay down a few on Pitt to cover that spread. They look pretty good. They looked as good as any team in the ACC Coastal, which may or may not be a compliment. And let's move along. We've got Washington State. We can skip them. Alabama minus 40.5 at home against Florida Atlantic.
Oh, God. Actually, lay it. Florida Atlantic just got smacked last week. Who killed them? Was the Cornhuskers?
Cornhuskers.
All right, they're horrible too. So lay it with Alabama. They're going to put on a show for their fans. I think, all right, you know what? 49-0. Exact score final. What do you got? What do you got, Ryan?
I'm going to actually step it up a little bit, and I'm going to go 56-3. They're going to give them the mercy field goal. Someone's going to fumble. Saban will remove their pinky, but they'll get three out of it.
See, here's what I'm going to say, is that Alabama – the last couple of years has opened with a really big game where they, you know, blew out a pretty good team. This year they didn't blow out West Virginia, but they won pretty handily. They always come back and sort of lay up in the second game of the year. They did it last year. I think they did it a couple of years ago. I would stay away from this one. I think you're going to see something like 42-7, 42-10.
Yeah, I've seen those
convincing
before.
Convincing win, but not really trying.
We'll see.
Stay away.
Be painful either way.
Okay. Stop me. Stop me if you want to go over any of these teams. Kansas State, SMU.
No.
Now, here's the real question. Our new segment, the Doris Burke Memorial 1145 ESPNU Game of the Week. We've got several contenders this week, including Central Michigan at Purdue, Missouri at Toledo, Arkansas State at Tennessee, my favorite, Western Kentucky at Illinois, Akron at Penn State, Navy at Temple. I'll let you guys pick which game we honor this week.
I think we're doing the Central Michigan-Purdue.
I like the Purdue game as well.
Central Michigan-Purdue. We got Antonio Brown against Drew Brees.
Now, you have to have in order for this to be our game, you have to actually pick.
Well, come on. Central Michigan. Antonio Brown's my favorite player in the NFL. He went to Central Michigan. I'll take the 3.5 points. Upset. Right, Ryan? What do you think?
I like the MAC team.
Yeah.
As I said it, I'm an avid fan of Take the Points. I know, Tom, you are a big fan of MAC overs as well. So I'm going to go with Central Michigan on the upset.
Yes. So the Big Ten is the conference I know the best. And the advice I would give to all of you is never trust Purdue, Illinois, or Indiana, regardless of what people may tell you. They're not having a good year. I know, of course, they're not having a good year this year, but even the years where people say, oh, Illinois is having a good year. No, don't trust them. Never bet on Purdue. Never bet on Illinois. Never bet on Indiana. Yeah, there's a couple other bad teams that you shouldn't bet on. Just don't trust the bottom half of the Big Ten in general. And when you get a good high-scoring MAC team, I'll take that 3.5.
Oh, yeah. All right, so I think we're all in agreement for the Doris Burke Game of the Week. We like to watch that game at home. It's 9 a.m. start here, so, I mean, it's, you know, half asleep with the blanket, one eye open. That's how you should watch it. Also on mute, I recommend all our listeners to watch any Doris Burke game on mute. That's not because I'm sexist or anything about that. It's just you will lose. I don't want to see you lose money.
So it sounds like you're saying turn the TV on, put this game on, and then just go back to sleep.
Yep, on mute. Yes, exactly. That's how you win. It's a simple formula.
So here on the East Coast, we don't get any morning games, really. But I was treated to the morning game last week when Penn State and Central Florida teamed up to play a volcano. I think that's what happened. That game, that was a very good game considering, and it was kind of nice to have football in the morning. I was a little envious of you guys. Wake up, you watch a game, go do some stuff, come back and see Ohio State get a sneaky backdoor cover, do some more stuff, and then watch the game starting at, 4:30 or so until 2 in the morning.
It's, it's interesting to watch, any kind of sports all over, anywhere. I remember being in Amsterdam watching the NCAA college basketball tournament once. That was interesting because it was so far ahead of time. Those afternoon games, it was on at like midnight, stuff like that. And it's really nice for me and Ryan being out here on the West Coast for watching sports. We love it. I mean, NFL Sunday, 3 hours earlier, 10 a.m. and 1. They're all done at 4. The Sunday night game starts at 5:30, so it's over at 8:30. Watch all your shows still and go to bed. It's great.
Okay, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit to some of the later, better games. USC at Stanford. Stanford is a 3-point favorite. They're at home, which basically means this is a toss-up. Spill it. Who do you got?
I don't agree. I think there's always a few teams that are public favorites. Notre Dame and in USC, I think the Cowboys are always a little bit overvalued. I think the public moves their lines. And I think USC, I think it's an overreaction. I really do. I think Stanford's going to beat them. I think Stanford's going to beat them possibly by double digits, 13, 17 points, I think.
So do you anticipate a run-heavy game where the defense just sort of gets to the quarterback and, shuts down Kessler?
Maybe, but I also think this is the chance for a national TV audience to see the new quarterback at Stanford, to see how he's developed over the last few years. And I think this might be a potential 400-yard passing breakout game.
I would say, USC looked impressive. Fresno is not the Fresno of last year, so we'll sort of learn a lot about both of these teams this week. I really have no clue on this game, so I'm going to toss it to you now, Dan.
I agree with what Ryan said. Overreaction. Fresno's horrible. USC's got the new excitement of a new coach, new era, blah, 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 blah. I don't think that it is the USC of old. They don't have the athletes that they used to. I think Stanford should be favored something more like, 6.5 to 7. I don't think you make it more than a touchdown, but if I was a handicapper, I'd make it Stanford minus a full touchdown, in which everyone and their mother would probably still take USC, but still, I lean heavily Stanford in this one.
It did look like night and day with USC from last year to this year. However, I would be very careful about jumping on the bandwagon yet till we
slow
see
down,
something more.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would condone taking Stanford either. So I'd stay away, but sounds like consensus is Stanford. Let's jump ahead. I'm going to save the biggest game, Oregon, Michigan State till the end. You guys can weigh in on Arizona State. They are playing one of the worst teams in college football, New Mexico. They're a 25-point favorite. Is there any reason not to take them?
No, I love Arizona State this week. I think they're going to win by 40, 50 points. This might be my lock of the week, I think, is Arizona State to go over to New Mexico, which is such an easy trip people don't understand from here. It's 5 hours on the highway of nothingness. So they'll be fine. New Mexico's just an absolute joke, except in hoops. They're pretty good, but always bad in football. There's not any real football players from the state of New Mexico. Absolute blowout. I don't see why the spread isn't higher. The only thing I will look at is to see if New Mexico has a returning quarterback that can somehow put, 17 shit points up on the board, and Arizona State wins 42-17 and you lose, something like that. But Arizona State should absolutely pound the hell out of them.
Spill, I'm going to let you finish this one. But first, do you remember, Dan, a couple years ago, or maybe 3 years ago, before we did the podcast, we used to email every week about the football games and our picks. And there was one year we just decided we were going to bet against both New Mexico teams every single game. I think that was probably the most lucrative decision I've ever made in gambling. Now, one of the New Mexico teams got pretty decent last year. I can't remember. I think it was
Mexico State,
right. But there was a year, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, where both of them were possibly number one and number two worst teams in college football.
Absolutely true.
They were dethroned by UConn, of course, last year.
Let's calm down. maybe not. That's really bad.
UConn was the worst team for a long time last year until they put in the mullet man, Casey Cochran.
Until like November 1st, they were the worst team. You're right. But then they finished like fourth the worst. So what's up now?
All right, Ryan, nobody has a better grip on Arizona State than you. What do you say?
I agree with absolutely every word Dan said. There's no reason that this spread should not have a 3 in front of it. I think that was, to me, the biggest shock looking through the lines of the week. This was the one that jumped out to me.
We're all in agreement then. Let's go on to a couple SEC games. I'll package these together and you tell me if either of you have thoughts. South Carolina, who we sort of discussed, they host East Carolina. They're a 17-point favorite. And then Dan's national champion pick, the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah.
32-point favorite against a pretty decent San Jose State team at home.
Nope.
Dan says no.
No. It was 21-21 last week at halftime, the Auburn game. I'm driving over to Ryan's house. I'm listening to talk radio, Fox National. It was like, oh, my God, Auburn might lose this game. And I come over here, and the first thing I said to Ryan, I go, don't even worry about it. This thing's over. And they smashed him in the second half. Auburn has got that super swagger people don't know yet. They think they can beat everyone, including Florida State. Watch the fuck out. They're going to smack some people. San Jose State, watch out. You're getting waxed. 700 yards total offense, it's coming. Then that quarterback go to the pros, fails, he's gone. Lay it. Absolutely lay it all day. Auburn's going to smack them in the face. Oh, 350 yards rushing for Auburn this game.
That Auburn game was a classic. First off, two things. Nick Marshall's awesome. Auburn looks no different than last year. Oh. They picked up right where they left off. Also, that was a classic game where you suspend one of your star players and then it's tied at halftime and all of a sudden it's like, well, I think he learned his lesson. You can go ahead and get back in there.
Zing, touchdown. Yeah.
Hey, at least he suspended him for a half, unlike Muschamp, who decided that the rainout game, Florida-Idaho, his three suspended players have served their time.
Wait, you don't think they learned their lesson from watching a game get called on account of lightning and then just not get rescheduled? And now they get to play in the first real game?
They're cursed. They are cursed, dude. Bad karma. Stay away. I'm not betting Florida ever. I'm not doing the whole year.
You think the lightning was the ghost of Aaron Hernandez?
Yes, it was.
It's when Aaron Hernandez gets angry, there's a lightning storm. That's what I heard.
He's actually hanging out right now in a fucking jail. I mean, just how cool is that? He's in jail. Like, that just... Some people just, you know, sometimes you got to not take that for granted. We're talking right now, having a good time doing a podcast, and he's in jail. So take that, Hernandez.
Yeah, that's why I feel, that's why we can talk about the curse, because he's no podcasts in jail, as far as I know.
Well, hopefully not, because if it is, you need to leave New England immediately.
Yeah, I'm too close.
You're really close. You are in a hot triangle, I'll tell
I'm
you
like,
that much.
I'm one state away. I got to run.
You better look out. There's a route that goes through your neighborhood.
All right, do we care about South Carolina versus East Carolina?
One tidbit. In the same article that we saw the UTSA under stat, there was an equally impressive over stat about East Carolina. They go way over a ton against the spread or on the over-under. I don't think South Carolina is quite as good defensively. They're going to give up some points, but I also think Mike Davis is out to prove himself as good as Gurley. So, yeah, I think I like the over in that game.
Yeah, I can't, well, I don't know. I was going to say I can't argue with that, but I can't agree with it either because I don't really know anything about East Carolina this year. And South Carolina looked pretty tragic in week one. I do know East Carolina always beats somebody good every single year, it seems like. So I'd be careful about taking South Carolina.
I agree. Stay away from the line. I like the over, though.
All right. Here's a big game, at least name-wise. Notre Dame, who I actually give a lot of credit to for their big win over Rice. Most people said, you know, it's just Rice, but Rice won Conference USA last year. I think they were 10-3 to finish the season. I know maybe they're not as good this year, but, you know, that's not a horrible, horrible cupcake. That's still a somewhat decent win. And then we've got Michigan, who got their revenge against App State. Did we learn anything about either of these teams in week one, Dan? And what do you think for the game?
Notre Dame, I don't know. It's too hard. I didn't catch much of it, but I don't know. What do you think, Ryan, on this one?
I honestly didn't really watch much of it. I just don't like Notre Dame. I think Vegas is always, the public's always going to make those lines a little bit more towards Notre Dame than they should be. But for me, I like to stay away from them. Michigan, another team that I'm not sure. I know last week you were talking about Dana Holgorsen having a hot seat. I think Brady Hoke has a very hot seat himself.
Yeah, I think we all agree with that. I mean, he's taken a powerhouse program that should be on par with Alabama and, you know, not done very much in a few years. But it could all be forgiven if he has a very good season this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Hoke, I think, has got one more year left and he's out. That's my 2 cents.
Yeah, we'll get into this later in the season. There's quite a few coaches who should be taking a new LinkedIn profile pic. First of all, Charlie Weiss. If he makes it through the season, that's ridiculous.
Total disgrace.
Let's see. Yes, Notre Dame, Michigan. So Michigan started as a 4.5-point underdog. Now it's moved to 3.5 last I checked. I like Michigan. I think this is probably going to end up a 3-point game either way. I don't know who's going to win, but take the points and you should be good. I also really like the over of 56. I think these teams traditionally are known for defense, but this year, in the last few years, last few years with Michigan, and then Notre Dame, the last year they had Everett Golson. They had a pretty decent offense against mediocre and bad teams. So I'm looking at something like, you know, a 37-34 finish that would put you well over.
Okay. I'm on board for that.
Okay. Texas, -1.5, hosting BYU.
This is a weird one. Texas and BYU play each other a lot. Last year, Texas went on the road to BYU and got smacked. This is a big game for Chad Strong to prove that he will take care of business against teams that have wronged them in the past. I really like Texas at home to take care of business.
I said earlier in the year I thought BYU would go in and upset Texas. Texas looks a lot better than I expected. I don't really know, because Charlie Strong is obviously a great coach. I thought he would struggle at first, but based on last week, it seemed like they're doing fine. BYU struggled a little bit against the Huskies, didn't look as good as they could have. I think this is going to be a really tight one, so I'm personally staying away, but I'm open to suggestions. Spill it?
I probably will stay away from this game until I know more about Texas. I think 1.5 is a bit of a stretch. I think it should be at least 3, but either way, I'm probably going to stay away as well.
Before we get into, you know, the two of the bigger games, Dan, you had mentioned UCLA making a big comeback this week. They host Memphis, 24-point spread.
Lay it. Woodshed, 50-point win.
So if they come out and win by 50 against Memphis, does that, you know, put UCLA back on course for you?
Yeah, totally fine. They've improved to 2-0. They blew out a team. They showed everyone they have the potential to blow everyone out. Nothing's going to change. So that first game doesn't mean anything. It's a weird, you know, East Coast, one every 12-year trip. Those kids aren't from there, so don't worry about it. Blow out this weekend. It's gorgeous out here this time of year. Watch out. Memphis is going down hard.
All right. Either of you have any dark horse picks or other mini games before we get to the two bigger games?
Oregon State at Hawaii?
Yeah, that one's past my bedtime, so if you have any thoughts, go for it.
Not here. We're good on that. last week I took Washington at Hawaii, figuring Chris Peterson would take care of business. But then I remember Chris Peterson hates taking care of business. He hates blowing teams out. He just loves hanging around. So that was embarrassing. But Hawaii still sucks, and Sean Mannion's back for his, like, 12th season at quarterback at Oregon State, I'm pretty sure. So
he's definitely going in the Dan Conley Hall of Fame for dudes who play 10 years.
So whatever. Yeah, exactly. He's been there for, I'm not lying, since we graduated high school. So
Dan Conley still plays for Syracuse.
Yeah, he does.
He's 62 years old now.
Redshirt junior. Look out.
One more year, if his knees hold up.
So I say lay it with Oregon State of Hawaii. It's only a 10.5-point spread. Take the over in Texas Tech at El Paso. That'd be UTEP. That's a beautiful stadium that's like in a rock on the side of the mountain. Texas Tech, Cliff Kingsbury, 95 degrees. You know, very tired defenses in the second half. I like that.
Anything you want to say about Boise?
No, I'm finished with them.
Same here.
It's a painful end to a once amazing relationship, but I've moved on from them.
I agree. I will say the 2007 Fiesta Bowl will always be the greatest sports game I've ever seen in my life, of any sport.
Okay. One quick thing I'd like to add, last pick. I'd like to talk about the Louisiana Tech, Louisiana Lafayette game.
I thought about bringing that up, but I figured it was not high profile enough. But something told me you would have an opinion on ULL.
Talk about
there's so much Louisiana in that game, you would love it.
Oh, okay. First of all, we need to start talking about all ULL, ULM, and Louisiana Tech games just about every week.
Louisiana Tech from now on is ULT.
Okay, ULT, until further notice. And I would much rather talk about them than, like, you know, the ACC or, like, the Big Ten. Like, honestly,
That? Because you better get ready, because Va Tech at Ohio State's coming up.
I know. I like, seriously, I mean, if I could only watch one of them, I would rather watch the ULL game. I'm dead serious.
All right, what's your pick?
Okay. It's ULL plus 14. Oh, no, sorry. It's Louisiana Tech plus 14 on the road to ULL. ULL is a great team. They have a great home field, but these guys know each other. They all know each other. 14's too much. Take the points.
Is this like a South Florida-esque type game where South Florida always plays the other Florida teams close?
That's a perfect analogy, Z. That's exactly what it is. So these guys have been playing since middle school, and they've, you know, had sex with each other's girlfriends, sisters, and it's going to be on. I can't wait.
And their own sisters.
Not you all, not so much. Hey.
It is Louisiana.
It's the dirty, dirty, baby.
My family has lived here for a long time.
Yeah. I love it. I love these schools. They're the best. They're my favorite. They're so good. Like, you know, in another 4 months come bowl season, they're covering machines.
Let me explain the South Florida rule for any new listeners, because this could apply to many other games. So South Florida is not a good team at all, but for some reason, well, not for some reason, we'll tell you the reason. When they play teams like Florida, Florida State, Miami, or even other teams like a UConn who happened to have a bunch of players that year from the state of Florida, they always play them close because it's guys they went to high school with. It's buddies of theirs. It's, as you said, guys who fuck their girlfriend.
Arguments. Fights.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's friends and there's enemies in those games. And so it's not your ordinary game.
Take the points on all those every single time.
Yes. Always take the points with South Florida and any other sort of interstate type of matchup. All right, two big games.
No, one big game.
Still, two big games on paper. The first
we already
of
talked
which,
about the big game, the big ULL game. That's three.
All right, the Va Tech Hokies travel to Columbus to take on Ohio State. Ohio State is favored by 11, which doesn't seem right at all.
No, me neither.
But I will say, in Ohio State's defense, Navy is a very, very tough team to play. They do that wishbone offense that almost nobody else in the country runs. I think basically Army maybe runs it a little bit, and Air Force, and maybe Georgia Tech. But it's not something you see that often.
That's true.
And so a lot of teams don't know how to play it. But On the other hand, Navy cannot pass the ball. So you know they're going to run every play. And if you still can barely beat them and barely cover a 14-point spread, I think that indicates to me that Ohio State, their defensive line is not as good as we might have thought, and their offense clearly struggled a little bit. So Virginia Tech was no gem in that week one either.
You know, here's the thing with Ohio State, though, which I've seen a lot, especially over the past couple of years with Urban Meyer, is like they'll be playing a game and halfway through, three-quarter through, you know, they're just kind of messing around, and they find a way to cover the weirdest ways. Remember last year on that, like, weird interception punt? Well, I don't know what the hell it was. They scored a weird touchdown on that. I really need to stay away from Ohio State. I know we may have hit them on the Doris Burke game of the week. But for this
one, I was sweating it out, though.
I can't take Virginia Tech, and I can't take Ohio State. I'd be more inclined to take an over and under in this game and sit back, and I couldn't really care less who wins. Just figure out the point spread. If you want to have some fun, bet the over, but the under's probably the play, I'm guessing. But I don't know. I think that's right. You know, what do you think,
Ryan? I will just say one thing is I blame Urban Meyer for a pulled hamstring. I was so excited. I jumped off the couch and tweaked a hammy, thinking Navy had a chance to win that game or at least cover. Really not happy about that. And, yeah, I agree. It's a bit of a stay-away game. I think double digits to Frank Beamer seems a little bit much. But, again, Virginia Tech breaking in a new quarterback. Ohio State already had a chance to do that, so they have a bit of an advantage there. But, I think 11 might be too much for Beamer, but it's that or nothing for me.
Okay, I'm totally on board with what you just said. If I was held at gunpoint, I think I would take the points with Va Tech, but luckily I'm not in Ohio State, so I'm not being held at gunpoint.
Not yet.
Maurice Claret has not come to my house, so I'm not at gunpoint, and I will avoid this one in betting and in watching.
Very smart move.
Okay. Let's get to the big game. This is a really big week two game, really big. And yes, I'm very excited to watch this one. So Oregon, who looked like standard Oregon against South Dakota State in week one, now hosts Michigan State, who looked very, very good, also against an inferior opponent, Jacksonville State. But this is a clash of two titans, I believe, two teams that clearly belong in the top 10. Oregon is favored, when I last checked, it was 11.5. I believe it had opened higher, somewhere around 13.5.
Right on.
And so that seems to show that people are leaning Michigan State, or perhaps they're just, you know, they think that's too many points to pass up. When I saw the 13.5 point spread to open, I was all over Michigan State. I think that's way too much in this game, although I do think Oregon will win. Michigan State, to me, is no joke. They're the type of team that matches up really well against Oregon. They're Stanford-esque, I would say. They have two very good running backs in Langford and Hill. They have Connor Cook, who has played well enough where I've stopped calling him Dane Cook and actually refer to him by his real name now.
Bart.
They have one of the best defenses in college football. They have a coach who is a little Mark Richt-esque, who I don't really trust. Oregon, you know, I don't think we can gather much from week one. They destroyed an inferior team. Rolls-Royce looked awesome. And I'm just going to throw it to you, Dan. My pick is the points with Oregon winning the game.
If you would have asked me this day or two ago, I would agree with everything you said. All your points are totally valid. They make sense. Michigan State's kind of like, you know, the East Coast or whatever, Midwest version of the Cardinal of Stanford. Teams that give Oregon problems or physical teams that hit you in the mouth, that's what Michigan State does, yada, yada, yada. But I just feel like this is a game that Michigan State can lose, and it's a game that Oregon can't lose. And I think you're going to see a semi-close game for a while, and I think Oregon runs away late and wins between 17 and 24 points, actually. High-scoring game, like 48-31 Oregon.
Now, I need you to clarify, because to me, Oregon needs to win this, of course, but to me, Michigan State really needs this win. This is their shot at being a real legitimate playoff contender. I don't know even if they win out in the Big Ten, which is unlikely. I'm guessing they'll lose at least one.
Yeah.
I think they're not in making theory, they're not making the playoff without a marquee win over Oregon.
In theory, that whole argument makes total sense. But when you think about it, it's so early in the year that they are, you know, still, you know, okay. Even if they lose this game by 17 points, Oregon, where are they going to be ranked? 12th? 10th? 11th? Something like that?
Probably they'll weasel back into the top 10 by the end of the year.
Well, yeah, and I'm saying if they just win out, it doesn't matter because of how the polls work. They're just going to weasel their way up there. And people go, oh, they haven't lost since September 5th and blah, 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 blah. And that was on the road at Eugene and blah, blah, blah. If they play them at home, it'd be a different story. And this is an improved team. And, like, all that stuff about, you know, hard schedule makes sense, and I totally agree with that. But it's weird. Oregon, even though they play a harder schedule going forward, even if they run the table, I don't think they're getting in if they lose to Michigan State. But I really think Michigan State can play cupcakes and Ohio State and go 11-1, and they're going to write off the out-of-conference non-conference game at one of the hardest stadiums in the country. So I think Oregon is going to be a sneaky pick.
Spill it. You're the deciding factor here.
All right. Well, wow, that's a lot of info from both of you guys. This is definitely the marquee game. You guys have done a lot of research on this. I'm kind of split between the middle with you guys. I think Oregon wins. I think it's going to be a potential late cover. But the thing is everyone keeps saying, you know, Oregon gets in trouble against these teams that are physical. But I don't know that that's necessarily true. I think it was just it's a Stanford thing. I think that's a big rivalry. And I think you guys touched on it earlier. We're talking about the high school rivalry. The two teams that everyone says throws out there when they talk about Oregon is Stanford and Auburn. Well, Oregon's entire roster is either from California or Texas. So in the Auburn game, they were playing all these guys from Texas. And when they play Stanford, they're playing all these dudes they know from California. So I think that plays a little bit more into it than people are talking about. And I think Oregon definitely has to win this game more than Michigan State does. I think Ohio State's cupcake schedule is going to be a marquee win. And honestly, I think Nebraska is going to be ranked. And I think that Iowa could potentially be a top 25 win for them too. So I think they have the opportunity to get at least 3 to 4 top 25 wins. And I think that should play well for them. But Oregon has to have this.
Now, Spillett, do you anticipate Oregon as a playoff team?
I do. And I actually think that Oregon's going to run the table. I think this is the year that they finally go undefeated through the regular season. I think they make the Final Four. And if I had it my way, we would have Alabama, Florida State in the first game and Oregon, Auburn in the second game. And I really, really hope that as a consolation, we get Baylor, A&M in some kind of bowl game. And that will be the most fun game of the year.
I think if what you just suggested actually happens, that would make everybody immediately love the playoff. The BCS would be forgotten immediately. If we got those four teams and those matchups, there would be no history that mattered anymore. Everyone would be on board with the playoff. This is the greatest thing ever. I hope it happens.
I hope so. That's the pick that I've had for about 2 or 3 weeks now, and I'm going to hopefully stay with it throughout the year. Hopefully it plays out.
Okay, so I guess Oregon's the pick then. I kind of like the points, especially if you can get it closer to 13-14. If it gets down to maybe, say, 10, then I would probably be a little more hesitant to pick Michigan State. But these guys both like Oregon, so that's our official pick. We go by consensus here.
I love it.
All right, guys, anything to add before we wrap it up?
No, I think it pretty much covers it. I would say that overall this is a weak college week two. This happens early in the year, and, you know, it's a little bit hit or miss here in September until we get in the thick of it. But, you know, again, hats off to college football. Even though the week sucks, they go, oh, by the way, Saturday we're going to throw Michigan State, Oregon at you. Oh, thanks.
I agree with you that it's not as good as last week and not as good as some of the upcoming weeks, but you've got some quality games. You've got the Oregon-Michigan State is a great one. Michigan-Notre Dame is always entertaining and very close.
Yep.
Va-Tech, Ohio State. I suppose some people are into that sort of thing.
Oh, God.
ULL versus ULM and ULT. Can we just get all three of those teams to play on like a three-way triangle-shaped field?
Yep, I would love it. And even if you did that, I'd rather watch that than the ACC or the AAC, for that matter, or both.
Okay, one last thing before we wrap up, also football related. Wisconsin, I feel like we would be remiss not to mention that game. We were trying to get our friend Sam on, who's a Wisconsin fan, but couldn't work it out. That was quite a meltdown, and even more interestingly, if that's a word, Joel Stave now has the yips, is what I'm seeing.
It's true. I know.
We don't have to recap the game, but I would love to hear what you guys think about Stave out with the yips.
It's an unfortunate thing. You know, I mean, when me and you were, you know, younger, Tom, we were in school, one sport we like played was golf. And, you know, we used to work at a golf course. We played golf almost every single day. About my fourth year playing golf, something happened in the middle of one round, and I couldn't get the ball in the air. And, I mean, I was shooting pretty good. I mean, me and you played a lot. I mean, I wasn't PGA Tour, but I wasn't a guy shooting over 100 every time either.
We were course pros. I mean, it was a horrible, horrible course that would allow teenagers to be their course pros, but...
It's fine. I mean, you were course pros, but...
We taught a kids' league. This was a very irresponsible course. They let us teach a kids' league and drive beer carts around.
Well, you know, me and you were 15, and we made 1570, or sorry, not 1575 an hour, huh?
No.
Five seventy-five an hour.
You started after me, I think, because I made $5 an hour to start, and I got a raise because minimum wage went from $5 to $5.25. And then minimum wage jumped again, thanks to Bill Clinton. Got two minimum wage raises, which meant two raises for me. So I started at five. I made $5.25 and then $5.75 thanks to minimum wage. And then through my own hard work and merit in the American dream, I worked my way up to $6 an hour by the time I was in college.
Impressive work.
Yes. But I ate a lot of Snickers and took a bunch of free golf balls. So fuck them.
Yep. True.
Spillett, you're a big star athlete. What do you think about the yips?
I think it's absolutely very real. I think it's something that if it's going to happen, quarterbacks are obviously the number one contenders. But there's other ones too. You see it in sports. I think the best comparison to me is hockey goalies, where a goalie can just be the best goalie in the league for a year or two, and then he's a sieve the next year for no apparent reason. He's scared of the puck. I think quarterbacks get that way. I think Blaine Gabbert is a prime example of a guy who, you know, definitely had that. I think he had it before he was in the NFL, and they just overlooked it. But it's very real. It's hard to get rid of. But we don't know. I mean, it's Wisconsin. It's a party school. A lot of things happen. Maybe there's something going on. Maybe there's a girlfriend situation and he's all messed up. Who knows? It's college kids have a lot going on, and nowadays, who knows? Who knows what he saw on Instagram that messed with his head?
I was just going to say overactive texting could have screwed up the nervous system in his fingers. Too much Snapchatting, he'll give you the yips.
No, couldn't agree more.
Yeah, that's, there you go.
Yeah, breaking news. Over Snapchatting gave Joel Stave the yips. Do you get the yips in lacrosse, Spillett?
Yeah, I think so. I've definitely seen goalies that that go from great to scared, and I've seen other guys that, you know, sometimes it's just one big hit. You know, I think sometimes one big hit can do it, and maybe that's what happened. Maybe he tweaked the knee in spring camp or tweaked the shoulder in spring camp, and now he's scared, he's overcompensating. I think that's probably the most logical answer is he did something. He was scared to tell the coach and the trainers because this young kid was on his heels, and he hurt himself. He made it worse, and mentally he fell apart.
You take the points, family. Our thoughts and prayers are with Joel Stave and his family during this difficult time. We're going to end there. Spillett, as our guest, I'm going to give you the last word. I want a Buffalo Bills 2014 season prediction. But first, let me do some house cleaning items. Our new website, takethepoints.net. Everybody should go over there. You can look at columns, podcasts, probably more coming.
shady videos, sexual photos.
More than ever before, which is still less than most football websites, but we'll have a couple things a week up there for you. Twitter, I decided to actually use the Twitter because I have a professional job and I figured I shouldn't just be tweeting out gambling picks from my personal one.
Well, you never know.
Yeah. Well, I work at a nonprofit, so, you know, everybody who follows me are these, like, altruistic nonprofit people who are much better at life than me. So I don't want to just be like, take the points with VodTech, motherfuckers.
Well, if it's a nonprofit, then they need to listen so they can lose the first part of that and just be a profit.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. My picks are for profit only.
That's right. ULL overs. Okay, moving on.
All right, so go to takethepoints.net. Everything's there. I'll put a little thing on how to subscribe on iTunes if you don't know. And you should do that. Subscribe on iTunes or on your phone. I like to get it on my phone, and then you can listen in the car. Not that I listen to this because I tape it, but, you know, that's what I do with other podcasts that I'm not on. Okay, so let's end with our guest, Ryan Spillett. Thank you for joining us. Spillett, take us out with a prediction for the 2014 Buffalo Bills.
Well, thanks. First of all, thanks for having me on. Like I said, avid listener, also grew up with you guys, so I don't know that was mentioned, but yes.
You didn't have a choice but to listen to us for 30 years. Now you actually get a choice.
Well, as some of the listeners might notice, there's a lot of stories between you guys because you went to a different middle school than me, but we went to the same high school.
Oh, yes. So you were exiled to Camillus Middle while we were at West Genesee.
Yes, Tom, you and I played some basketball when we were younger, so we knew each other a little sooner. But, it's Buffalo Bills. Whew, well.
It's going to be bad, right?
It could go a couple different ways. You know me. I'm probably the most optimistic Bills fan that you're going to meet. So take that with a grain of salt. But on the same day that I bet Syracuse under 5.5 wins, I also bet Sammy Watkins to win Rookie of the Year. This was pre-rib injury times two.
Yeah, he's going to have to stay on the field for that prediction to come true.
I agree. Yeah, I think the Bills season, a lot of it's going to be growing pains. I'm not a Jim Schwartz fan. I think he looks like a really, really bad version of Tom York. I think there's a similarity there. I really do. But I had to throw that out there. I think Schwartz looks a little bit too much like York. And
Tom York is not – he's a great musician, not what you're going for in a football coach.
No. And I think losing Mike Patton hurts. But not replacing Jarius Byrd, I think, is the biggest mistake they made. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Chantrell Henderson is either going to be a Pro Bowler or – in jail within the next 2 to 3 seasons. I'm really overly optimistic about how he has looked. It would be great. The Bills now have officially the largest offensive line in the league, size-wise. And it's about time. We've complained about their line for 20 years, and it looks like they've been working to address it. They got a hole at guard, but I think the Bills might win 6 games. I think 7's too optimistic, but I think 6 could happen. I know a lot of people are saying worst record in the league, but I don't agree. I think EJ can be a little bit competent, but that's, you know, that depends on how good Sammy is and how healthy CJ is.
Now, which of the two classic Buffalo Bills scenarios is more likely to happen this year? They start off 5-1, get everyone excited, and then win one of the next 9, or they start off 1-6 and then finish 8-8 and just miss the playoffs.
That's the Buffalo we know and love.
They do it both ways. I mean, they always end up between 6-10 and 8-8, but they trick you on how they do it. Sometimes they start off hot and then fade, and then sometimes they start sluggish and then they turn it on after it's too late.
I agree. I think it's going to be the late push, and it's unfortunate. Hopefully, if they stay healthy, they might win 7 games. You know, 500 would be great. But every Sunday, I get up early and I put on my favorites t-shirt, and it says, God save the Bills. I live by that credo. I'll see if we can get a picture of it on your website.
Yeah, that would be great.
And that's how I live every Sunday morning. God save the Bills.
I think that's a perfect way to go out on. God save the Bills. All right, everyone. Tom, Dan, Ryan here for Take the Points. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Adios.
Bye.
Yes, first of all, I lost real money on UConn. That was a horrible decision.
Wait, you bet on UConn?
Ask me why on the podcast, and I'll tell you why.
Dan, that's a poor decision.